Today on You Can With AI, we are discussing digital teammates. Welcome back to You Can With AI. I am Nathaniel Whittemore, host of the AI Daily Brief and partner with KPMG on You Can With AI. This season, the focus is on giving you ground-level views of how AI is actually changing organizations and how they work, with as much lived experience of those changes as possible. The reality, of course, is that the sands are shifting underneath all of our feet. And sometimes the only thing we can do is look to the left and the right to see what other people are doing and figure out how we might move forward in the best possible ways. Today, we're discussing digital teammates and what it means to stop thinking about AI as a tool and instead think about it as an actual coworker. For this conversation, I'm joined by Surajit Chatterjee, the CEO and co-founder of Emma, and Edwige Sacco, head of workforce innovation at KPMG. All right, welcome back to another episode of You Can With AI. Edwige, Surajit, it's great to have you here.
Great to be here.
Great to be here.
So if you would, I would love to just do some quick introductions, maybe Edwige, starting with you. If you could tell us who you are, what you spend your time on, and the context, I guess, that you're bringing to this conversation.
Yes. So I am a principal at KPMG. I lead capability, what we call workforce innovation. It actually sits inside of HR or our talent and culture function. And I would say in this context, I'm sitting at the intersection of our people strategy. And so what matters to our people, for our workforce, and our AI strategy. And then in that role, I would say probably the single biggest thing we've been architecting for a few years now is the arrival of AI.
Awesome. Surajit?
I'm Surajit Chatterjee. I'm CEO, founder of a company called Emma, Enterprise Mission Assistant, based in the Bay Area. And our goal is actually to build AI employees. And we build a framework and a platform that can create AI employees to help reimagine how the workforce will look like in the future. Before founding Emma, I led large teams and businesses at Google and then at Coinbase as Chief Product Officer.
Awesome. So we're having this conversation at an interesting moment where agents have become indisputably real in the last little bit, right? Since honestly the ChatGPT moment, people who were looking out further on the horizon were looking to agents as a culminating point or a point that they were trying to get to when it came to the capability set of this technology. But there's been a real recognition that something big has shifted over the last, call it 6 months, but especially the last 3 months even, in terms of where those capabilities are. And you're seeing this show up not just in the conversation on Twitter, but also in the most recent KPMG Pulse survey, which just showed a huge jump, for example, in the percentage of organizations that say they have agents deployed. And the conversation that we're having today is in part a conversation about how to view agents. Are they the latest productivity enhancing technology that is used by people to do their jobs better? Or do they represent something more fundamentally different, a new type of digital employee or teammate? So Surajit, let's start with you. You've built an entire company around this idea of digital employees. Talk us about your sense of why that framing of digital employee is the right one.
Yeah, great question, Nathaniel. And look, our history is we started on this mission almost 3 years back. So we have been at it for a while, for a little bit more. And we have been deploying AI employees in some of the largest enterprises in the world at massive scale. For me, this framing was really important. I remember when we were coming out of stealth, like we were in stealth for almost a year, a little more than a year to starting the company. I wanted to call ourselves an AI employee company. And our PR agency said, oh, that's a very provocative thing to say, and let's not do that, and remove that wording all through. So we did that, but I just felt very uncomfortable. So 2 days before launch, we went back and changed it back to what it was originally in our vision. Why is this important? Because I think we are entering a new era. This is not just a software in the sense of traditional software, which is kind of static, right? You input some data, you take data out of it. If you think of any SaaS application, they basically have no specific intelligence. They may give some insight sometimes, but they're not acting on their own. This new era of software, particularly the way we think about this, is a team of agents working. And it's not just substituting a single human. They're working together to do what teams of humans could do in the past, and automating entire workflows, taking actions and making decisions and reasoning around data, sometimes ambiguous data. They need to listen to humans. They need to talk to each other. They need to evolve with feedback. All of those qualities are basically how you think about new employees. So when you deploy an AI employee, you have to kind of treat it the same way when you hire a new human employee. You have to give it data, give context, give onboarding, give feedback, and it evolves. So that's why this is important. You have to understand this is a new type of software, new entity, and human and AI have to collaborate well. It's no longer the era of static software where these are just tools that you use.
And Edwige, this is something that you've also dealt with a bunch in terms of this framing, right? And a core question. And you actually went deep on researching this question of digital teammates as the framing. What did you find? Is this, you know, where is the concern? Where do people push back? And what do you think is sort of triggering some of those responses?
Yeah, so interestingly, how this came up for us, I was just on a share forum call with a handful of companies. We were doing this sharing of best practices, and I just almost unintentionally said something like, yeah, KPMG is starting to think about AI as a teammate and being a member of the team. And one of the tech company leaders jumped in and he goes, wait, time out. Did you say that you're thinking of AI as a teammate? And I was like, oh yeah. And I hadn't really given it much thought. And he immediately said, wow, we're definitely not doing that. There's no way people will get on board with that. They're going to push back. And it was actually the first time that I, in my own experience had thought, ooh, there's something juicy here that we need to look into. And so one of the fun things that we've done, I think, at KPMG for the last couple of years is we've really leaned heavily into neuroscience as a guide for much of our talent strategy decisions, which is my way of saying that at an age where we're talking about humans and AI and how they need to work together, we've refocused our knowledge on what does it mean to be human? Like, what is the physiology? How does the brain actually work? And so in that research, you know, when we're talking about people getting curious about a thing, we want you to be interested in this. Like, we want you to be bought in, and it's not intrinsic for everyone. Words do matter. They matter a lot more than we realize. And language, especially in that moment, isn't a cosmetic thing. And so when we say things like teammate, we say sometimes teammate or digital employee in the firm, it signals agency. Like, people, the brain will start to hear things like opportunities for delegation and collaboration, communication, like relationship. And so one of the things that we've tried to make clear is this is not about making AI more human, right? I think people get really nervous when you start to talk about it in that context, but it's more about understanding the mental model that we need to establish more deliberately for collaboration. And so there's a ton of research out there, and I don't even need to point at anyone, because most of them basically conclude that how you frame AI will change how we work with it. It will change how humans engage with it. If we refer to it as a tool or as technology, the engagement will likely be very transactional. And up until this point, that's probably not been a bad thing. If we start to frame it, though, as a teammate or a member of the team, the brain, literally our brain, shifts into a much more collaborative mode. And that enables us to be then more open to trust, more open to iteration, and maybe most importantly, more open to engaging with a thing or an entity that may not be perfect all the time, right? Which actually is not too dissimilar from human beings. And so at KPMG, the way we're thinking about it is, if we want people to work with agents and or embrace agents as taking on a part of their work or their workflow, then we need to give them clarity. So clarity on, in this new context, then what is your role? What is the agent's role? What are the boundaries? Who's doing what? Who is doing what and when? Which may not always be the same thing. And what we know also from neuroscience is that when there's a lot of ambiguity, our brains tighten up. But if we can offer clarity, especially of roles and responsibilities, plus the guardrails, then we believe that people will let go. They'll get more comfortable. And I'll just this just happened a couple of weeks ago, so I want to share a more personal story. I took my very first fully autonomous vehicle ride just 2 weeks ago. I bet you two have done it many times, and it was my first one. I'm in DC and we don't have them. And I just jumped right in, and part of it was I was late to a meeting and the app was telling me it was the fastest way for me. So the benefit was clear as day to me. But when I got in there, I was really nervous. I did it, but I was nervous. And the first thing that popped up on the screen was a video that said, "Welcome to your first ride." And then it literally told me how it works. So it gave me clarity. It then very clearly said, when the vehicle starts moving, we are in full control. It literally said, don't even put your hands on the wheel. But that clarity allowed me to kind of take a breath and let go. And I literally feel like I experienced what I've just described real time in this autonomous vehicle.
So in the spirit of trying to get specific, because I think this is really important, what are some of the differences in behavior that we actually observe when we shift this mindset to AI as teammate? And Sergio, maybe we'll go back over to you. What does this look like in practice from an actual day-to-day perspective?
Yeah, great question. See, there are, first is the trust barrier that Edwidge was also talking about, which is first thing is, oh, I don't think AI will be able to do this job, or AI will not be accurate, right? And we have done this again and again with our customers. Customers will say, oh, AI is not accurate, and we will show AI is more accurate than humans, consistently more accurate. Say customer support, we have large insurance companies, you know, we have companies using us for, you know, like prior authorization, using us for document generation, using us for HR kind of end-to-end automation. Now the next barrier is people who are using AI, people who are buying AI, or people who are setting up, right? That's the, like, the first barrier, which is, can they trust that it's accurate enough and it is actually going to evolve and take feedback and follow the guardrails that they have put together? I have an interesting story. One of our clients, they have like a quarter of a million employees, 250,000 employees, 65 countries, you know, large professional services company, very complex HR operations. So they use MR end-to-end in hire to retire process, almost everything. And their employees will basically interact with MR rather than going into HR ops as the first step, right? And they've seen massive efficiency from 5 to 7 days. It's like a few seconds to minutes to resolve any issue, answer any question, take any action, any HR workflow. But curiously, their CHRO called me and said, hey, what we are seeing is that 30% of the queries, our employees ask it again. They get an answer. They ask again to a human. And then I'm like, but why? Like, I don't know, maybe it's wrong. So that's why they are asking. So they went back and they did some more research and actually did a focus group with a lot of those employees. And turns out employees still think, yeah, I got an answer. It seems correct, but let me ask a human again. So I don't quite trust it. So they ask HR ops, and then HR ops goes and ask Emma again and copy paste and sends them in an email. Turns out. So it's like building trust over time. So now, as over time, they're like, okay, maybe I don't need to ask a human again. So I think this issue of trust, it's almost like trusting a new employee. This is what Edwidge was saying, right? Can AI give you trust that, okay, you know, don't worry, I have it under control and you can intervene if you absolutely need to, but mostly it will work fine. This is fundamental in how we design the product, by the way. These AI employees need to be designed correctly with this thought in mind, where humans are fundamentally going to be a little bit threatened and a little bit worried to give up control right away. So how do you build trust over steps?
And let me make this just a little bit more personal to kind of combine with that. How has this changed how you work internally, right? Like how has the digital teammate framework changed how you build digital employees?
Absolutely. So look, we are an AI native company, right? We started 3 years back. The team came together 2.5 years back. So everything we do, you know, we first think, can AI do it? And if not, then we'll put humans. So a lot of our internal tools are actually our own, like self-made also the way we build the product, a lot of the product is also built by AI agents now themselves. And then that's what gives us massive velocity. Of course, we have engineers, we keep growing, but it's at a different, it's a very different way than companies operated even a couple of years back, or even a year back, right? At this point, we have given AI agents more and more control over things internally, and of course, within the right guardrails and so on. So like onboarding a new employee, training our sales team, right? Writing code. There's a big part of it is actually done by AI employees collaborating with humans. It's no longer just humans doing all of these things in every function internally. So as we grow, we look at like a very different company than traditional companies look like.
And so presumably there are this, in addition to just figuring out what parts of your work an agent or digital teammate is going to take over, there's also a whole new skill set that goes around knowing that and how to manage that. And so, Edwige, let's go over to you and talk about how this digital teammate framing changes the type of support or upskilling or education needed for workforce innovation. I mean, it feels like we're pretty far beyond the prompt engineering course era. And maybe to extend that, what's the balance between getting people ready versus providing the right institutional structure for them to be ready in? And how should organizations think about that?
Yeah, so I would say my lived experience for the past few years, and the focus has really been on what we think of as people readiness, like a lot of focus on adoption, right? Like getting people to do a thing, react to a thing, more and more of this, not as much focus, not as deliberately anyway, on what about the institution or the system that we're in also needs to change so that the people are not absorbing the shock of that change on their own. And so a big part of our pivot at KPMG, and you know, we're still very focused on adoption, but we also started to focus on what we call our talent supply chain. So if you think of every part of a life cycle that an employee or an agent will go through, we now know we have to reevaluate every part of that. So what I mean by that is planning for the workforce of the future. Now we have to contemplate different labor pools, including digital teammates. How we acquire skills. What skills do human beings need in the future? What skills will agents bring to bear that fundamentally changes the skills we need? How we acquire them? Do we hire? Do we build internally? Where will they come from? It also fundamentally changes how we engage. How we engage with our own people. How will agents engage with people? How will leaders engage with teams of hybrid teams of humans and agents? It changes how we develop our people as well, and career architecture and career progression. And then probably the biggest one is incentives. How do we incentivize the behaviors that matter, right? How do we not only incentivize people who went all in and started using the tools and they upskilled real fast around AI, but how do we incentivize the people who realize they have to redesign an entire workflow, which is very different than someone who uses a tool, right, to draft an email? So we're looking at essentially what I consider to be the entire operating system for our people. And what that's really led us to institutionally is a full refresh of our firm-wide talent strategy. So we know the business is changing, the business model is changing. And a big part of that was figuring out that how our talent strategy has to change to enable the shifts in all of the things that I just described. And then the last thing I'll just say is, there's something really important that humans have to deal with, right? That agents won't have to deal with, which is what I think is a level of cognitive exhaustion that has exacerbated over the past couple of years, right? We've already asked people to do a lot of things. We ask them to come to the playground, play with our new shiny toys. They're not perfect. And people have a particular cognitive runway for that, but we're running out of that capacity. And that's not the same as atrophy. I know a lot of people will think of cognitive atrophy and this kind of fear that AI is going to dull our thinking or make us lazier. But I'm talking about if we think of how we review AI output, there's a different cognitive load, I think, that we're dealing with. And I'll give you an example. We've always reviewed other people's work. That's not new, right? There's always a new member of the team who doesn't get everything right. It goes through a review. There's iteration and so forth. What I do think is new, though, is that we're looking for the things that AI may not have done well, that isn't very obvious, right? It's like a scavenger hunt of finding, like, did you pick a source I didn't tell you to go to? Did you completely make something up, right? Are you aiming so much to please me and to give me an answer that you're not giving me the signal that you don't have the answer? And that's important because when we interact as humans, even behind a screen, there are cues we pick up on, right? If Sarahjit and I are having a conversation and I'm like, Sarahjit, can you go do this thing? And you're not sure you can do it. I can pick up on cues. They might be verbal in the tone of your voice. They might be body language. We don't have the ability to do that with AI. So it creates another level of anxiety that I think has made cognitive exhaustion a very real problem that we have to tackle, which is why I say we've got the institutional change we have to prepare for that will take a while. And then we have the current level of exhaustion in our people. And those are two things we have to get at together very deliberately if we want this next stage to really derive the value that we're all hoping for.
The cognitive exhaustion piece is interesting because it's not one that I would imagine has an easy answer, because it can't be, you've done a lot of work already, so we'll give you a few months off from adapting to the new reality, right? What are your instincts or maybe early evidence around how to successfully, if not solve that, alleviate it or help people transition into a better way of handling it?
So I'm going to be honest and say we're still figuring it out. I wish I could say we've figured it out, but our hypothesis right now is that if we can show immediate relief, right? It's the sort of very conventional, we're going to give you this thing, but take this other thing away first. So when I think of agents now, I think as we deploy them, whether or not we need a lot of people to be involved with them or they're taking on a part of the work, there has to be an immediate acknowledgement of what they're going to get out of that moment. I don't think we have the luxury anymore of the value is coming, right? We're iterating, we're building. We've had quite the runway for that. I think now people want to know, if I use this agent, what am I getting out of it? Are you taking this completely off my plate? To your point, if I'm saving time, what do I get in return? That's what I meant by the rewards, right? And those rewards mm-hmm. can't always be everyone goes on vacation. That would not be feasible for us. So I think for me, there's this immediate sense of relief that we need to offer people. And then long term, we've got to be able to demonstrate how the world of work is fundamentally changed. How are we building a healthier workforce? How are we giving people a healthier experience with their work? How are we bringing, I'll even say it, dignity back into work? Right? We've got generations of people who I think have a very different sense of purpose and connection to work. And I really do believe that agents and how they can materially change that experience with work can bring that back, can give us a relationship with work that feels exciting and healthy again, and about much more than just paying the bills or just getting through the day.
I think the answer being, we don't know, it's a work in progress, is the only reasonable, realistic answer with these things, especially given the fact that even the most advanced users are still in single-digit months deep of figuring out how to get the real value here.
Look, one of the things we have seen is positioning AI as like a competitor to human is not the right way in workplace. And this is what Edwidge is saying, which is like, oh, AI can do this better than you, right? Positioning AI as a collaborator and as an accelerator. AI can help you 10x your productivity or do things that you could not imagine you could do in a day that would have taken you 6 months to do, is a different way of thinking. There is a mindset change that is needed. I mean, we had to do even in our company, right? To your point, can you review everything AI is generating? How will you review, for example, code is a good example. If AI writes 50,000 lines of code, human has to review it. It'll take a lot more time to review that code, right? Like weeks, maybe, right? And then all the productivity is kind of lost because writing the code itself is not the end of like coding. It's actually reviewing the code and making the code that the software actually works. So there may be other ways, which is like, maybe you don't need to review everything. Maybe you just test it better. The human's role is maybe setting up the right guardrails upfront, giving the right instruction and collaborating with AI to first design better, right? And these are new skill sets, actually, that people need to be trained on. And there is a big mind shift that has to happen. We had to work with, even with our best engineers, right? Work with changing their mindset a little bit, which is, look, it's not a competition. We are not comparing. We are enabling. This is like your best friend or best help to make you better, like help you do more, right? Faster. I think that's a big thing that has to happen, big mindset change. And it has to happen really quickly. The other thing is that this change is happening at massive speed. I've never seen this before. And that's what worries me a little bit, if companies and organizations can keep up with the change that is coming.
What do you think one mistake that will be likely with agents over the next 12 months will be? This is for either of you.
Yeah. I think the one mistake is, I continuously see this, there is either over-dependency or under-dependency, or kind of over-expectation, under-expectation, which is like, I remember a large company enterprise that's like, oh, I'll just put this AI agents and next week it'll just be, like, they will just do everything. That's not quite true. The agents need to actually learn from humans, and you have to actually spend a lot of time training the agents, giving them the right access, right documents, right policies, verifying their work, and so on. At the same time, the underestimation is, oh, agents will never be able to do this. Neither of those are true. And I continuously see organizations make mistakes on both sides, which is like, oh, agents will not be able to do this. Let me just sit on the fence for a year or watch, or just keep doing pilots or small projects. Or on the other side, okay, let me just walk away from it. I have some agents, and then come back after a few months and see, oh, what happened? What is the ROI? You have to think of them as, you have highly qualified people that you have hired, right? It's very similar. If you hire highly qualified people from the top schools or great experience, but then do nothing with them, don't give them any information or training, they'll not succeed, right? And you have to think that way. And companies, organizations that are thinking that way will succeed. So the second thing I'll say, so that's the first thing. Many organizations, many leaders are thinking, well, I have this point problems. I'll just put some agents here and it will get solved. And what Edwidge was saying, you have to think end to end. It's a complete business transformation. It's not just, oh, I have few humans and I'll put few agents and I'm done. How do I do this particular business function in a different way now? We call it agentic business transformation. You have to think end-to-end how agents and humans will work together in the future and redesign the org.
Edwidge, what do you think?
I'll just, a couple small builds on that. I think, you know, we're still living at a stage where we do need people to be bought in and to participate and to be excited, right? And so I guess I think of AI sometimes like I love gaming. So like someone's given me a cheat code, right? Like my favorite game, someone is like, here's a cheat code. This game's going to be so much. And I type it in, but it's like same quests, same dungeons, same rewards. I'm not getting any better gear than anyone else. Like I'm not even getting to upskill, right? Or to level up in my craft any differently. So like you gave me this cheat code and like the game itself hasn't even changed. Like how long am I going to stay in this game? Not that long. So I think the first mistake to me is what I was talking about initially, which is continuing to focus on people doing a thing and not changing the game itself. And then I'm a little bit worried that we haven't fully redesigned the work yet. And some of it is because it's hard and we're still figuring it out. And so we threw a bunch of, you know, Gen AI capabilities on top of it. I'm a little bit worried that now we're going to add agents to it. We're going to get the agents to train on a process or a workflow that's broken. And that's just going to make everything worse, because you know who absorbs that difference? Humans. So that will then just add to the exhaustion that we're already dealing with.
Maybe flipping this around then, as we start to close out, what's one concrete move that leaders can make in, call it, the next few months, the next quarter, to not only get out ahead of those problems, but actually take advantage of these new opportunities.
Well, I guess I maybe will tie back to my autonomous vehicle experience. You know, I think if you're a leader and you're sponsoring AI or leading AI from a distance, your team is probably noticed by now. They're probably mirroring that behavior, in fact. And so, like, you need to get in the car with them, right? Like, when I think of, I got in the car, but I know a lot of people who said to me in the moment, no way, I can't believe you're doing this. I'm not getting in the car. So as a leader, I have to have the courage and the trust and the clarity to get in the car with my team. Get in the car with my team, take all of the rides with them, not from afar, not from a distance. Like, I've got to experience it and feel it with them to build the trust. If I'm not in the car with them, then I don't think we're building the trust. And then I think from a leadership standpoint, you're not even a part of the experience. So I would say, like, next week, right? If you think of what can you do differently next week, it's ask yourself, how are you leading in this era? Like, what is the role you're playing? And if the role you're playing is not to be side by side with your team or your people while you're going through all the kinks, then you're not leading at all.
Very, very, very well said. If I can add to that, I think the time to act is now. As I said, this change is coming very quickly at us. It's not like, oh, I'll sit on the fence and keep watching. You have to get in the car right now. I'll add on to that and say, look at your current business. Take one function. Get into it and think how you will reimagine. Get your leaders together. It's no longer discussions around, will agents work? Is AI going to work? Yes, it is going to work. It is working. It's almost like your responsibility now to make it work, because it has proven that it can work if you actually spend the time with it. So you have to spend time. You have to create kind of small task forces. You have to look at your business very closely. Think how you will reimagine, not to boil the ocean and do everything, but you have to start somewhere. Take something and say, okay, how would we reimagine? And go all in, not just, okay, we'll do a little co-pilot here and something there and see how it works. You have to kind of go with a plan and go a little bit all in. Keep the blast radius small maybe to start with, but you have to take something on.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. When you're talking about total transformation and how we work and the incentive structure around work, it makes it much harder to dabble in, right? So anyways, guys, really great conversation. It comes at an extremely timely moment. I appreciate both of your times, and I'll be very interested to see in 6 months or a year as we're looking back on this, just how much has changed, because I'm sure it will be enormous. So thank you for hanging out today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.